We're going to start in Ecclesiastes chapters 1 and 2 today, and we'll study that through the month of August, and then we'll be through with this quarter and move into another section. The name of this lesson is Can I Find Meaning? Why is it so difficult to find my purpose in life? And I struggle with that even with all the years that I've been teaching. It's been quite a few. Since I was in my 20s, I've been teaching Sunday school or women's Bible studies. So it's been quite a while. And, and I used to say, well, what is my purpose? And then it finally dawned on me that maybe teaching is. And that's my purpose. You know, that's my gift that he gave me. We're going to look at chapters 1 and chapters 2, several different verses. The book of Ecclesiastes challenges us to think deeply about some very, very basic questions. Life does not need to be without purpose. I don't care what age you are, what you've experienced, it does not need to be without purpose. Ecclesiastes recommends wisdom, righteous living, finding purpose, in remembering our Creator and keeping God's commands. It's pretty basic. Wisdom, righteous living, finding purpose in remembering our Creator and keeping the commands that He gives us. So, remember God, keep His commands. That's pretty basic. Remember God and keep His commands. So what's next after you do that? What's next? Keeping, remembering God and keeping His commands. What's next is joy in the life that we have with the purpose that we find. Yes, ma'am.
This is Tools for School from the letter.
Oh, yeah. Ecclesiastes explores the value of life and what we should do, what people should do. The book explores a wide range of topics such as time, work, wisdom, pleasure, and injustice. It also discusses how we should deal with these circumstances in a world under God's sovereign rule. Now, we talked about the word sovereign last week. All-knowing, all-powerful. Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, pretty well determined by the first couple of verses in the book that he wrote it. He reflects deeply on how short and contradictory human life is. Life is short. I remember my daddy used to say, life is way too short to waste your time on such and such, and way too long to waste your time on something. You know, if you're wasting your time on something that you don't need, it's way too short, plus it's way too long. You know, it just depends on how you want to look at it. He reflects deeply on how short and contradictory human life is, with its mysterious injustices and frustrations. And we understand mysterious injustices and frustrations throughout life, I think. Solomon concludes that life is useless. But in spite of this, in spite of his conclusions, he advises people to work hard and enjoy the gifts of God as much and as long as we can. So, you just have to think of this is Solomon, and he's doing some really, really deep thinking. Just trying to discover the meaning and the purpose of life. In my book, I don't know if this was in your book or not, but there was a quote by a person named Augustus Hippa, and this person lived A.D. 354 to 430, so that was a very long time ago. He said, and speaking of God, he said, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they can find peace in you. And that's true, isn't it? God made us, and he made us so that until we find our peace in him and stop looking for it everywhere else, we're going to be restless. We're not going to be satisfied. till we find it in him. So Augustus Hippo was a pretty smart fellow. And you know, isn't that amazing?
Let me interrupt you, but y'all remember when before you knew Jesus, you had this restlessness, but once you knew him, you had this peace.
Well, I mean, I think we feel that as believers when we are struggling with something, when you're trying to fix something yourself, and then you realize that you need to give it over to him, and when you do, that peace comes back. I think that you can lose a bit of peace. So, let's look at our first verses. They're in chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and the title is Life Can Seem Pointless. And this is Solomon. They call him the teacher. Says, everything is meaningless, says the teacher, completely meaningless. What do people get for all their hard work under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. So I thought, when I read those verses, and I thought, well, where are we going? You know, I was confused a little. You know, I thought, how am I going to get anything out of that we're going to be able to use in our lives and grow? But how many of you have ever, when you worked, because I know it's been a long time for some of you, did anybody ever work in like an assembly atmosphere, any kind of a plant assembly operation or sawmills or anything like that? I know my grandmother did, and she was way older than y'all, so she I don't know if this y'all's generation did, but I thought about that because I work in a manufacturing assembly plant, and the people on the floor in the area where I work, like this one line of table that we build, depends on how involved the table is as to how many stations it takes, and each station has a person. And this particular table line of the four or five we've got takes 10 stations. So there's 10 people. And some of those people in that line have been working at that same station for 20-something, you know, 30 years. And I could not do it. The station one starts the table, and they do so much to the table, and then they move it to station two, and it does so much. And by the time it gets to station 10, which it takes 3-4 days to build a table, you know, it doesn't happen in a day. By the time it gets to 10, it's built, rigged, put the box on it, and go, be sold to a customer. So every day, when they get it, it's a fresh new thing, but it's still, they got to do the same. They could probably do it with their eyes closed, you know, which I guess is a good thing, but that's every day the same thing, day in and day out. And I think that's where Solomon was going a little bit, was that, you know, things get routine, you get mundane, and they probably do it to the point of that they don't even really have to think about it. They may be thinking about what they got to do when they get off work instead of, you know, what they're doing to the table because they've done it so much. I hope they're not doing that because people are going to be laying on it getting cut on. So, but anyway, so Solomon determined on earth the ordinary actions of life remain forever. The names and the faces of the people change with each generation, but the earth and his actions stay the same. So we go through summer, spring, winter, fall. Fall, however we go. The order. That may not be the order. So that never changes. The sun comes up and the sun goes down. The moon comes out. The tide comes in. The tide comes out. So all these generations of people are seeing the same thing, but they're the ones changing. The earth never changes. And he realized that. So that we must realize that even when something becomes routine or seems pointless, our status with God is not affected, that we are blessed by him. That's what Solomon is trying to say in a nutshell, is that no matter what you're doing, even at the stage of life that you're in now, in retirement and probably maybe going to the doctor some and things, you know, there, and you get into a routine and you do this every morning and this every afternoon, that kind of thing, that no matter what, how you feel, if you feel like it's a waste of time or it's pointless, that God is, that your status with God, it remains consistent. It never, ever changes. And that, and we are still blessed by Him. Even with the little things, that we don't even realize is a blessing sometimes. Let's look at the next set of verses. Experience seems to affirm futility. And that's chapter 1 still, verses 12 through 14, and then we'll move to chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, I, the teacher, was king of Israel, and I lived in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to search for understanding and to explore by wisdom everything being done under heaven. I soon discovered that God has dealt a tragic existence to the human race. I observed everything going on under the sun, and really, it is all meaningless, like chasing the wind. Because he saw the human, the tragic existence is that, you know, that's the only, everything's the same, nothing ever changes. The people change, but the things in the earth and time and so forth, and it's what you do with it while you're here is what makes the difference, is what I've determined from reading Solomon. In chapter 2, I said to myself, come on, let's try pleasure. Let's look for the good things in life. But I found that this too was meaningless. So I said, laughter is silly. What good does it do to seek pleasure? After much thought, I decided to cheer myself with wine. And while still seeking wisdom, I clutched at foolishness. In this way, I try to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. So, does everybody know what an ant farm is? You know, when kids had them and they put them in between the glass and the dirt and all that. I never wanted one because I was scared it'd get broke and get all over everything. So, you know how ants are in colonies. Every ant has a job, and they do it. That's all they do. Kind of like those guys on the line where I work. You know, that's all they do every day, day in and day out. And they do it over and over. Tasks that you repeat over and over can become mundane and boring, too. That seems to be what Solomon has discovered, that life is just boring. You know, so that's why I keep saying you got to make it what it is. What did Solomon do to try to discover meaning in life? He decided that he would examine all things done in the world. That's a big task. He decided to enjoy himself and find out if happiness and joy would make him feel better, enjoy life better. This was an interesting lesson to me. Why do people look for happiness and contentment and peacefulness in alcohol and drugs today? They do.
Because they're bored.
They get lost. They lose their way, I think. And they don't, they think that is what is going to make it all better. And then when they really get spiraled downhill, I think that when they, unless they do the drugs, they don't feel happy. Because then they're oblivious. Unfortunately, it is impossible to know the answers in life. Pleasure and the ways we find it are all, everything's temporary, and we know that. We're in a temporary home. We're temporary residents. You know, the Bible tells us that. Solomon determined that trying to secure meaning apart from God is as successful as chasing the wind. He said that again. So, if you find anything, that's the bottom line. Life may appear to be meaningless and boring and mundane, but if you know God, it's not. It's truly not, because we have peace that people don't understand. And we have joy because we know that we're only temporary. So it's this is just a place where he has put us, and he wants us to make a difference for him and find joy and happiness in doing that and receive his blessings. So let's look at our last verses. Trust in God's blessings. And there in chapter 2, verses 12 through 14 and 24 through 26. So I and this is Solomon. So I decided to compare wisdom with foolishness and madness. For who can do this better than I, the king? I thought wisdom is better than foolishness, just as light is better than darkness. For the wise can see where they are going, but fools walk in the dark. Yet I saw that the wise and the foolish share the same fate. The wise and the foolish share the same. We all are going to stand before God, whether we're wise or we're foolish, whether we believe or we don't believe. We're all going to stand before Him. Let's look at 24 and 26. So I decided there is nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and to find satisfaction in work. Then I realized that these pleasures are from the hand of God. For who can eat or enjoy anything apart from Him? God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to those who please Him. But if a sinner becomes wealthy, God takes the wealth away and gives it to those who please Him. This too is meaningless, like chasing the wind. So, God desires that we find our hope and our peace and our joy in Him. He wants us to know that whatever effort we make, whatever we try to do apart from Him, it's not going to work. To find a meaningful existence, we are to derive all our purpose and meaning through Him and Jesus. And that's what this lesson is about, is no matter how boring or mundane, without Jesus it is. Because that hope that we have, and He wants us to share it. Do you know somebody that has difficulty finding a blessing in life? Do you know somebody that finds it just impossible to recognize a blessing for a blessing? What can you take from your life experiences to help them find that meaning in life? You know, it's easy for us. We have so many testimonies as believers because we have things bad happen to us, but we come through them. And we're stronger. So many experiences in this room that we can talk about to others and show them what a wonderful, no matter how difficult circumstance, you can find a blessing within it somewhere. No matter how mundane life may become, we must keep our focus on Christ. That's what Solomon's trying to tell us. What all we go out into the world, just step outside without Jesus, it really doesn't make any sense, does it? I mean, you do begin to wonder why you're here and what's going to happen and when's it going to happen.
Have you ever read the Precious Driven Life?
Yes.
It explains a lot.
Does it? So no matter how mundane, we have to keep our focus on Christ. We depend on Him for our meaning. Joy and peace come from our trust in Him. Does anybody have anything else? So he's written The Purpose-Driven Church, too.